Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my delight to have you with us today on this another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. As we face the issues, let me remind us that we do so based on the biblical text, not a view that the world has, not a view based on ideological dogma, but a view in facing the issues based on the authority of Scripture. Let me remind you in this election cycle that we're in that many Christians, many pastors, preachers, and Christians somehow think that if you talk about political issues that it's wrong biblically. I want us to understand, and you've heard me say before, that God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and in that order. So anything we talk about from the pulpit or from the pew in relationship to government, politics, the home, theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, the family, all of that is inculcated in a biblical worldview. And as Christians, we ought to have a biblical worldview. It ought not to be on the basis that we'll make a decision in facing an issue based on some denominational dogma or some ideological, theological philosophy, but based on what does the Word of God say? What does the Bible say? Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My Word, you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth." So when we look at issues in the world, we need to do so and face them based on truth. I believe that truth is a forgotten term today in the vocabulary of most people. Most people today, it is half truth, part truth, or no truth at all. Many times it's simply, you know, the old cliche, "I'm going to cross my fingers, put them behind my back and tell you a lie and call it the truth." That's simply not the case. But ladies and gentlemen, in this the final days of our primary election, in fact, the election is on the 19th. That's next Tuesday. We've got just a few more days of early voting. I like to go in and vote on election day simply because of the aura of it, being able to greet people, see people in the neighborhood, et cetera, that you've not seen otherwise. But to be able to have the, if you please, the experience of election day. But we have the early election now. And I understand that somewhere around 7% of our registered voters have voted. I am prayerful that that will dramatically increase through next Tuesday for the election cycle. But I'm thankful that we have the privilege, the opportunity, the freedom in America to vote. We the people in a constitutional republic with a representative form of government, we need to vet our candidates, talk with our candidates, meet them, and make the determination after prayer as to who God would have to be placed in that office. And we've got many of our offices in Jacksonville that's up for re-election, and many of our city council members that are up for re-election. Some have been termed out. Some are going to be re-elected. But we need to make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that we vote. I'll tell you this, and I've told you this perhaps before, but back a number of years ago, we had some representatives in Tallahassee elected, and one of those representatives, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, one of them was elected by two votes. Yep. Two votes. Representative Jay Pham. Yep. Two votes put him in office. I remember sitting in his office on the day that he was sworn in and had the privilege of having coffee with him and some refreshments, and I said, "Jay, you realize it's my vote and my wife's vote that put you here." He said, "It's about 100 people that's already told me that." So the point is, we need to recognize the importance of even a single vote. But ladies and gentlemen, our political circus in Washington seems to be darkening day by day. And I just simply made a little note to myself, wow. We are now finding out that the FBI, the DOJ, and even President Obama colluded to frame Donald J. Trump and to clear Hillary Clinton in the election of 2016. The coup was behind the scenes. and it was an attempt in that coup to overthrow the will of the people. But I want us to understand God intervened. God gave us Donald J. Trump as president. Now, some disagree with that. That's your prerogative. But I believe that it was because of God's divine intervention that put President Donald J. Trump in office to give us the clarity of what's needed in reversing the wheels of the declension in our nation today. And I'm thankful for that. Now, that doesn't mean I agree with everything that he says and his vocabulary sometimes. That's simply not mine. But I want us to understand, I believe God placed him there. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason we, the people, must remain vigilant. We must not sit in silence. We must exercise our control over government by we, the people, and that's done by vote. That's casting our ballot at the election time. And we're in the citywide election now in Jacksonville. That election will be March the 19th. That's next Tuesday. And our primaries election is going to make the determination on the direction that our city goes for the next several years. Perhaps you've already voted in the primary. If you have, let me ask you to ponder a couple of things. Why did you vote? How did you vote? Who did you vote for? Did you pray before you voted? All of these things are necessary. And I believe as Christians, as conservatives, as concerned citizens, we need to recognize that we need to be involved in the voting process. Ladies and gentlemen, I've just reviewed some statistical material and some facts about one of the candidates in the election process in our city, and some of the research that's shown one of the city council races that is kind of troublesome to me of what I found. And it should concern all of us as citizens in Duval County. In one of our citywide group council races, a candidate that's running as a Republican, running as a conservative, has in the past been a liberal Democrat. He has run as a Democrat before. He's run as a Republican before. He has contributed to Democratic candidates, even in this present race, but running as a Republican, as a supposed conservative in the race. Ladies and gentlemen, that's I'm talking about Group 4 City Council race, where Matt Carlucci is running as a Republican and as a conservative, and he's everything but that. Good guy, maybe, yes, but he stood for the HRO, that is the special exception for the sodomites in the city of Jacksonville, and the Bible calls them that. 38 times the Bible calls it sodomy and sodomites. God destroyed two cities as a result of that immoral practice, and yet somehow, some way, there's a feeling by multitudes of governances across America and in our city that we should carve them out, and because they've chosen an immoral lifestyle, that some way we should give them special exceptions. And that's where Matt stands on that. But I'm thankful that Don Redmond is running against him in the council race, and it is my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mind you knowing, as I've told you before on this broadcast, I've known Don for some 40-plus years, and he's a man of God, stands for principle and for morals and ethics and values, and that's my man, that's my choice. Now, you can vote as God directs you to, but that's what I say. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, we need other good men like Sam Newby. Sam Newby is running for re-election in Group 5 in the city council race. And I've got Sam sitting here with me in the studio today, and I'm delighted that he is with me. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call, you can join in the dialogue and discussion. You can ask me or the candidate questions. I would love to have you to do so. The number is 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get you right through to the studio and right to the microphones that we can have dialogue and discussion today. Sam, brother, it is my delight to have you with us today on Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I'm so glad that you got me on today. And first of all, just let me say thank you for what you do. And thank you for that. You're still on the battlefield all these many years.
Amen. Well, it's sometimes you get a little scarred and bruised, as you know.
Right.
Well, we're standing up for truth. And somebody said, if you're the lead dog, you're going to get somebody's going to kick some sand in your face or
that's
kick
right.
up. And that's what we find so often as we take a stand
yeah,
on issues.
Right.
But I'm thankful for you, Sam. I'm thankful for your record and what you've done for our city and your willingness to take some of the bullets, as I call it, from the liberals and what's being done in our city. Tell our listeners, some of our listeners may not have met you, and we have a wide array of listeners across our Northeast Florida. Tell some of our listeners something about what you've done in city council and what your goals are, what you would like to do being reelected for the next 4 years.
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, I just want to say that, number one, I'm an unapologetic Christian.
Amen.
And like I tell people before I'm anything, before I'm a husband, before I'm a father, before I'm anything, I'm a Christian
Amen.
First. God, Jesus come first in my life.
Amen.
Because he saved me.
Amen.
But one of the things that I have done, one of the things we did, because when we first came in office in 2015, we had 1,500 police officers. And a lot of people don't realize that Jacksonville is the 12th largest city in the country.
That's right.
And 1,500 police officers was not enough. And
That's
so
right.
we increased it to almost 1,700 police officers, and which is still is not enough. We solved the pitching problem, the step-to-tank problem. We're working on that. And we added more money for kids, for the kids open lines. When we came in, we was only spending $30 million for kids. Now we increased it to $42 million. We just opened up a day center for homeless people, not for people just to go in and just sit all day, but actually train them and get them a new start.
Amen.
Because that's what God tells us to do, mm-hmm. is to help people get a new start. So that's some of the things that we're doing and things that we're working on.
It's not a hand down, it's a hand up.
It's correct. You're absolutely right.
To get them in the position where they can do something, become productive in their own lives.
You're absolutely right. And one other thing I want to say, and you mentioned this, we as Christians sometimes, we want to sit back and say, oh, we don't want to get involved in politics, but that's absolutely the wrong thing to do.
Yes.
We as Christians, this is our country. God specifically gave us America because
yes.
we serve him. And we got to protect our country because the other side is doing all they can.
To tear it down.
To tear it down. So Christians, we got to, and sometimes it's frustrating for me when I hear Christians say, you know what, I'm a Christian, I'm going to stay out of politics. That is absolutely not what God wants us to do.
Preach, brother. Absolutely. I've been saying that for 50-some-odd years now in the pulpit and in the pew, that it's time for Christians to wake up, sit up, be heard, be seen, get out of the closet, and be salt and light in the society in which we're living.
And you're absolutely right. And one of my callings is, and I have to say this, and some people, they don't like when I say it, but one of the things that God called me to do is to help raise Christian politicians.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people say Christian and politicians don't go in one, but I believe that if you're a Christian and you get into politics or you get into government, because just like you said, we can change this whole country around.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things that, like I said, God got me involved in, and he have blessed me to be on council. And just like you said earlier, before I look at any bill or vote on any bill, I pray first.
Amen.
And it's about four or five of us before every council meeting, we pray. We go in my office, and it was actually started by Dora Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And after he left, I kind of picked it up, but we go
Amen.
In my office and we pray before every council meeting. And every time we do it, it just seems like it's definitely a blessing.
That's right. There is power in prayer.
There's power in prayer.
And if we're going to expect our council members, especially those that are Christians, those that know Jesus, if we're going to expect there to be any positive outcome, it must be bathed in prayer before the decisions are made openly in the council meeting.
You're absolutely right.
I am so thankful, brother, to hear you say that. And you and I both have talked about this in relationship to the crime problem in our city. We're having major. In fact, June of last year, our sheriff said that there are about 30 gangs operating mm-hmm. in our city. Speak to that issue from a councilman's standpoint. How should we view that? What should we do? What should be our response? What do you think are some of the answers that we need to strive for?
Okay, and before I answer that question, I do want to say sometimes the media, I know we're on radio now, but the media is some kind of, especially the liberal media, sometimes blow
yes.
it out of proportion.
Yes, they do.
Because actually, if you go back and look at the records since 2015, we're actually down 6% in violent crime. We're down 21%. And burglaries, and the list go on and on. Zone 5 was used to be the where most of the crime has happened. We're actually down 21%. So the media kind of builds it up, but it really is not true. But you're absolutely right. The sheriff, it's about 30 gangs, and they only are probably about 0.2% of the population, but they create 40% of the crime.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that what we have to do is just like to say. We didn't increase to 180 officers, but we actually need more officers. Just like I said earlier, Jacksonville is the 12th largest city in America. And you compare us to other cities like Chicago and the list going on, we don't really have a lot of people because for every officer, it's like 10,000 people.
Yes.
It's not enough. And mm-hmm. so we need to, number one, increase more officers. And we also need to bring our fathers back into the homes because when I talk to some of these kids, The common denominator is that they don't have a father.
Don't have a father in the home. Absolutely.
And they don't have, and so if they don't have a father, they don't have nothing to fear. And if they don't, and they don't know God. Mm-hmm. That's the number one thing.
That's right.
Because I remember when I was growing up, because I come from the inner city myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I had two components. I had my father, and I had the fear of God.
Amen.
And
the father would help put the fear of God
in. And my father would help put the fear of God. And so a lot of these, they don't understand that, because they don't fear. Because I had one guy told me, he said, you know what, I probably won't live till I'm 25 years old. Mm-hmm. Because, so they don't have that respect or that fear. And I think that's part of the main reason that we got to get back to, number one, some kind of way, get the father back in the home. And many years ago, the government stepped in and they said, and what they did was they said, well, we'll provide a home for the mother and the kids, but the father can't be there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we reaped what we sowed many years
right,
ago.
Right, right. Divided the family with that.
Right.
You touched on that about the a father and the need to put God back in the home. Let's digress for a moment. There is a bill in the House that Kimberly Daniels introduced.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Bible bill.
Right.
Putting the Bible back in the classrooms. I've had the wonderful opportunity to have dialogue and discussion and prayer with Kimberly on that.
Right.
I'm thankful for her stand on that. Some of the things that she and I disagree with, but that's nevertheless immaterial when we're talking about putting Bible back in the classroom.
Right.
Where do you stand on that? Do you think that's a good idea, a bad idea?
I'm totally for it, because we got to put the Bible back in school, and we got to put God back in school.
Amen.
Because what a lot of people don't realize, a lot of these kids, when they go home to their parents, most of the time their parents are not there, or their mm-hmm. parents are on drugs. So the only time they really get education, unfortunately, is during school time. So they're not getting a chance to learn about the Bible.
That's right.
They're not getting a chance to learn about Jesus. So I'm 120% behind this. And if you look back through time, when we really start getting bad was when we took God out of school.
Yes, you can go back to 1962, 63,
right.
When we took prayer out of the classroom, Bible mm-hmm. out of the classroom. And by the way, for our listeners' edification, many think that it's unconstitutional to have Bible in the classroom. When the Supreme Court ruled in 1963 that the Bible had to come out of the classroom, they had a caveat in that the Bible can still be taught as historic evidence and historical books in the classroom. And so that's what we're getting back to. I'm not necessarily for a teacher standing there and trying to, quote, lead a person to Jesus.
Right.
Because we don't know that teacher's background. But I am for putting the Bible back in the classroom. And ladies and gentlemen, you can talk with our representatives on that in Tallahassee. In fact, the Bible bill is putting the Bible back in the classroom. It's House Bill 195. And House Bill 195, Kimberly Daniels introduced that. It has come out of, gone through two committees now. And I'm prayerful that it will not only be approved out of the committees, but will be voted on in the House and will be passed. And that's another thing, too, Brother Sam. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Sam Newby. Sam is the candidate for re-election for Group 5 at large in the city of Jacksonville for city council. It is my prayer that you will vote for Sam Newby. I am prayerful that God will put him back in office to continue to do what he has been doing, standing for Jesus, standing for godliness, standing for the family, standing for our faith, standing for the future of Jacksonville, and I'm looking forward to that. But Sam, there's a bill also, and I know it has nothing to do with city council, but we're talking about godly things, what ought to be enacted in our city council as we find across the nation as we're crumbling as a people. But there's the House, Heartbeat Bill. I don't know if you're aware of that, but the Heartbeat Bill was introduced by a representative from District 1 coming out of Pensacola, Mike Hill. Had the opportunity to talk with Mike, have lunch with Mike in Tallahassee, and had him on our radio broadcast. But it's the Heartbeat Bill, and the Heartbeat Bill is House Bill number 295. And that House Bill 235 is now being blocked by the detractors, because the Heartbeat Bill says that once the heartbeat is heard, and that's usually between the 5th and the 7th week, if the heartbeat is heard, then it's illegal to do an abortion because it's murder. And so I'm prayerful that a Heartbeat Bill will pass in Tallahassee. So those two things I'm just talking about, Sam, I believe will help us as a nation, as a state, and as a city. So therefore, again, I'm saying thank you, thank you, thank you for your stand for Jesus, your stand for godliness, your stand for the family and for faith in your city council work. Sam, when it comes to, and we talked about that a moment ago with the need for police officers, would you be willing to publicly say to our listeners that you would be willing to stand with other council members to encourage and, if necessary, insist that we get at least 100 more police officers during the next 4 years you're elected? I don't think 100 new police officers would be far-reaching and would be too many. But would you make a commitment to our people, to our listeners, that you will stand for the any bill that would be introduced or to introduce bills to put at least 100 more police officers on the street?
Absolutely, I will. And if the sheriff asks me to introduce the bill, I will, because we do need it, because I go back to the point of we're the 12th largest city in the country, and we need it. Right now we have 1,700 police officers, and we need more. Absolutely, I would definitely I'm a supporter or even sponsor that.
Yes.
Anything the sheriff would need, I'm in support of.
Well, I am thankful for the job that Mike Williams has done, and I'm thankful for the fact that he is a godly man himself,
yes,
a family man, faith in family, and for our future. And as you are well aware of, I've got about 5 members of our family that's with JSO.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I'm a law enforcement enthusiast, and that brings me to the point, Sam. I'm a Second Amendment rights person. I believe that when God gave us our founding fathers with 56 men that signed the documents and risked their futures, I believe that God instilled in them the recognition of the need for the future perpetuation of our Republican form of government. We're a constitutional republic, not a democracy. And I hear a lot of people talking about our democracy. We're not a democracy. That's mob rule.
That's
we're
right.
A constitutional republic. But as such, we're finding today, in fact, just yesterday, I believe it was, today is Wednesday, just yesterday, there was a lot of hoopla out of Washington because Nancy Pelosi had forced her bill through that now says that if you buy a weapon, you got to be at least 21 years of age. What if you're married, Sam, you're 18 years old, 19 years old, or you have a family and you cannot protect yourself?
Right.
We look at Venezuela, what has happened there, and it's because the Second Amendment right that we have in America is being undermined and diminished. Tell us, tell our listeners where you stand on the right to keep and bear arms.
Well, absolutely. I'm for the Second Amendment. And that bill that Nancy Pelosi is trying to do is absolutely ridiculous, because if you able to go and die for your country at 18, why you can't carry arms? And also, you know, how can you protect your family? Because the criminals have it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's absolutely crazy that, you know, somebody that's 18 that's married that can't protect their family. And just like I go back to say once again, if you can die for your country,
yes,
you should be able to carry it. You should be able to carry, and I'm absolutely for the Second Amendment.
In fact, Sam, this might become a surprise to some people. You know, we have the right to keep and bear arms in our Constitution. Most people are not aware of the fact that the right to keep and bear arms, the right of self-defense, was originated in the Word of God. It was then confirmed in our Constitution and confirmed again by the courts to be carried out by we the people, the citizens. And yet we have, every time there's crime in our city, there's some city council folks, and I'll not call their name, there's some city council members that time there's a crime, time there's a shooting, they say, let's control the guns. Would you be in favor of, and I know this is far out, and resolution sometimes looked at as not having any teeth, and I understand that, but would you be willing to introduce a resolution for the city of Jacksonville via the city council that says, we stand with the people for the Second Amendment right?
Yes, I would be.
That's good. And it's simply put, because crime is bad.
Yeah.
And when, just like the shooting at the Landing was right. Bad, but that came from a wicked heart. It didn't come from a gun. And yet we cannot blame the weapon for the one that pulls the trigger.
That's right.
And so as a result of that, we need to protect our citizens' right to keep and bear arms, and at the same time try to protect our citizens from the harm and danger. And, Sam, that brings me to another question. We mentioned the Landing. As you are aware, as a council member, back when the Landing property was leased out, the city owns the property, the buildings and all were leased out to a major developer in our city, and there was a commitment to build a 5-story parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
And the city never carried out its commitment. And there's been an ongoing battle now for years and years and years with the owner and operator of the Landing downtown. And now they have, as I understand it, resolved that issue. They're going to write a check for $15 million to the Landing owner operator. And it's all as a result of a failure on the part of the city to do what it had committed to do. But now it brings me to the point. They're talking about tearing down the landing, and some say we want an aquarium. Some say we want a giant city park. And Sam, I'm not trying to speak for you, but the city of Jacksonville has more city parks than any other city our size in the nation. What do you think, how do you think we need to handle the landing? Should it be torn down? Should it be rehabbed and leased out? Should the city go ahead and build a parking garage as it had committed before? What should we do with the landing downtown?
Well, first of all, I think what we should do is just look at all the options, look at what's best for that area. I'll have some dialogue with the citizens of Jacksonville, have some town halls.
Yes.
And let's just see what's best for Jacksonville. And I want to come back to the first point. You know, this actually happened way before our administration came in.
Right.
And I know some people kind of criticize why we, and first of all, it's not even, technically it's not approved yet because it got to go through city council. But one reason why I believe that, and I hadn't talked to the administration about it, but I believe that the reason why the administration settled with the developer, because if we would have went to court, it could have been really embarrassing.
It would have been embarrassing, cost a whole lot more.
And would have cost way more money than $15 million. Could have been up to $25 or $30 million. I don't really know the numbers, but it could have been more. So sometimes as good stewards of the taxpayer money, you have to settle. But right now, my thing is not to make a rash judgment. Let's see what the citizens want. Let's have town hall meetings. And let's the administration and the council come together. And let's do what's best for Jacksonville. Let's not make a hasty decision, because the property that what the land is on is really the jewel of Jacksonville. Because when the Jaguar plays and other, the first place they look at, first thing they zoom in is on the London. So we need to make the best decision.
Yes. One of the things, Sam, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Sam Newby. Sam is up for re-election for Group 5 at large in the city of Jacksonville for the city council. And I urge you to prayerfully consider your vote. If you've not already voted, vote. And I encourage you to vote for Sam Newby. Sam, we've got a couple of minutes left before our broadcast time is over today. And there's been some criticism of you, and we need to face that. And it's because you had some elongated telephone calls and conversations with another city council member. We'll not call that city council person's name, but express to our listeners today so that it will allay any questions in their mind. Express to them what the reality of that was and what took place.
And it was funny because you're absolutely right that the Times Union wrote that article, and actually yesterday, well, day before yesterday, they endorsed me, so I think that was funny.
That's good.
But what happened was we've been friends many years. We've been friends since 2011, and she actually introduced me to my wife. And so if you go back and look at our record, we have always talked from 2011 all the way to now because we are really good friends. And so we just been just really good friends. We didn't talk about city issues. We just talked about different things. That, you know, we talked about my mom, her mom, our family. So it was only about because we're really good friends. That's all that was about.
So what you can say to our listeners is that it was not something that was done about city business or city council business. You were not violating the Sunshine Law.
We were not violating Sunshine Law.
That's good.
We were just talking about, like I say, family stuff.
That's good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Sam, take the last minute. We've got about a minute left. Tell our listeners what they can do to get you reelected. Ask for their vote. Let them know how they need to vote, how to vote, where to vote, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, first of all, I just want everybody to pray and pray for the city of Jacksonville and pray for me. Just go out and go out and vote. Go to your early voting site or even if you want to vote voting day. I tell you, I have two opponents, and if you see their records, you would definitely understand why you need to vote for me. I just want to finish out these 4 years because one of the things is, like I said earlier, I'm a Christian and I love this city and I want to leave this city where my 9 grandkids can stay here and enjoy this great city, enjoy this great America.
Amen. Well, that's a good wrap up for our broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you to give prayer as a Christian, as a conservative, as a citizen of Duval County. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to vote. If we want good leadership in city council, if we want good leadership in government, we need to vote. And as we vote, we need to prayerfully say, God, who would you have in office? Vet the candidates. You've just heard Sam Newby. Sam Newby is running for re-election for Group 5 in the city council. That's Sam Newby, vote for Sam Nuby between now and March the 19th and put Sam back in office to work for us, standing for Jesus, standing for godliness, standing for faith and family and for the future of our city. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.